Hello, my name is James Nither. I'm the host of the Banking with Life podcast. I hope you've listened to it or heard of it. If you haven't, you have an opportunity. But at bankingwithlife.com, our website, we continually upgrade or improve the material that's available to the general public and to clients only. Kind of on the back end, we have a learning center there that has a tremendous amount of resources. And what I have today is a webinar that's been available on the website, on our website, but you had to log in, you had to register to view the webinar. And as we're working on the Learning Center and improving it, we discovered this website and really listened to it to kind of decide where it should go. You know, should it remain just a webinar or should it go into the Learning Center? What should we do with it? Or what could we do with it? And I listened to that, to this webinar all the way through, and I hadn't listened to it since, you know, it was created in 2018, and here it is in 2025. And I was, frankly, I was a little bit moved. You know, I thought this should have lived in the free world without any kind of hoops to access it. So what I'm going to do is watch this video and kind of update some of the statistics and make some additional comments. I was moved. This webinar stands the test of time. The information is absolutely stands the test of time. And I was kind of impressed that this work was done.
Thank you for registering and attending this webinar. My name is James Nethery, and I have personally practiced the infinite banking concept for a little over 12 years, been in the financial world for over 26 years.
So I just want to make a comment there. Actually, I've practiced the infinite banking concept now. This is 2025 for over 20 years, and I have been in the financial world for over 34 years. I know I don't look that old, and I'm not going anywhere unless God calls me home. Just updating the dates.
This is an introduction to the infinite banking concept. Now, in my practice, we like to teach or share in modules. So what we have here today are three modules put together. The first module is really the headwinds that we all face while we're trying to accumulate and acquire wealth. And then the second module, we're going to...
You know, I must say money is not wealth, right? Dr. Paul Cleveland points that out in the Banking with Life DVD that was released on the 100-year anniversary of the creation of the Federal Reserve. So it was released in 2013. Dr. Paul Cleveland, a PhD economist, Birmingham Southern, a wonderful man. And he points out very clearly that wealth is not money. Right. Money is a medium of exchange, and wealth is the goods and services that we purchase and enjoy. So
look at qualified retirement plans, because this is where all of America is taught to put their money. And then we're going to consider two foundational concepts that you must understand or be okay with before the infinite banking concept can make sense. So we put these all together. This is the introduction to the infinite banking concept. Once you go through these, if this message resonates with you, there you have the opportunity to continue learning on this website. There are other modules, and we encourage you to continue learning. So thank you again for participating. Now, the first module is taxes, inflation, and lifestyle, because these are the headwinds, like I said earlier, that we all face while we're trying to accumulate money and wealth. Now, I'm using Truth Concepts, a visual calculator, to demonstrate what happens to our wealth over a long period of time, really over our lifetime. But I'm using a 30-year time period under the income data. Right. And I'm illustrating the ability to earn $100,000 in income, whether it's joint or single. And then I'm demonstrating a 5% rate of return. So if you have the ability to earn $100,000 a year over a 30-year time period, and you're saving 100% of that income, earning 5% on the savings, your wealth or your money, that account, would grow to over $6.9 million, all right? Okay. Well, you know as well as I do, you can't earn $100,000 in America today without paying taxes. So I'm demonstrating a 30% tax bracket under the cost ratios. Okay. Now, the cost of the taxes over that 30-year time period are $900,000. But look, taxes destroy wealth. Taxes destroys wealth. Well, the cost might have been $900,000, but the actual loss to your account is over $2 million. So it's no longer $6.9 million. At the end of that 30-year time period, you only have $4.8 million, right? But that's a lot of money, so it's no big deal. Uncle Sam is satisfied. He's not showing up to seize assets. You've earned an income and paid income taxes, right? Okay. Now, Nelson Nash, in his book, Becoming Your Own Banker, his first book, clearly demonstrates that 34.5 cents out of every dollar that goes through the all-American family's hands goes right through their hands directly to finance cost, either direct finance cost or the lost opportunity cost by paying cash. Right? It's still a finance charge. Well, I like round numbers, so I use 35%. Okay, now that cost is over $1 million over the 30-year time period, but it destroys over $2.4 million in wealth. That brings the accumulated account down to $2.4 million at the end of that 30-year time period, down from $6.9 million. All right, well, I'm demonstrating a 30% cost under lifestyle. That cost is $900,000 over a 30-year time period, but it destroys over $2 million again, and that takes the account value down to $348,000. Now think about that, $100,000 in income, 30-year time period, you're just paying your taxes and living life, and you've accumulated 3.5 years, roughly, of income. Walking in high cotton, right? All right, now, if we talk about the cost ratios, if we look at that 30, 35, and 30, that totals 95. That means that you're able to save 5%. I'm being generous here. I'm a generous guy. So the national savings average in America today is well under 4.5%, and I'm demonstrating 5. I'm being generous. Now, the next question here is, do you know what the rate of inflation is? Well, I don't either, right? And it really depends on where you get your information. The Department of Labor, the Bureau of Statistics, they say that currently we have about a 1.25% inflation rate. All right, well, John Williams, that's a name worthy of investigation. He's an economist, and he was a consultant to Fortune 500 companies in the 80s and very successful with his forecasting, you know, with his business. Well, you know, his work quit being effective for those companies. So their forecasting stopped working. So here he is, a consultant, and his work stopped working for the Fortune 500 companies. So he set about to discover why. Well, he discovered that the Department of Labor changed the way they calculated inflation. They changed their methodology. Right? When he made his adjustments, then his forecasting began to work again. Well, the Department of Labor has changed the methodology of calculating inflation in the 80s. They changed it again in the 90s. And then today, currently, they continue to adjust their method, right? Every quarter, really. Okay, so if you consider John Williams' work, shadowstats.com, if we consider the 1980 methodology for calculating inflation, it'll show that we're in about a 7-8% inflationary environment. If we look at the 1990 methodology that the Department of Labor used, it would show that we're in a 6-7% inflationary environment. And here, the Department of Labor says we're in about a 1.25% inflationary environment. So I don't know. Now, I have my opinion on what's closer to the truth, but I've got to use a number here for inflation, right? And I'm going to use 5%. Now, look at what inflation does to that accumulated value. Here you are working hard, right? Living life, enjoying life, paying your taxes, saving 5%, earning 5%. You can accumulate after inflation, right? less than 1 year's worth of income after 30 years of trading your experience, strength, hope, wisdom, and time away from your family and everything that you love to create that income. This is where most of America finds themselves. We're battling these headwinds, taxes, inflation, and lifestyle. Well, now the modern day financial gurus, and let me just say, that you may agree with me, I don't know, but I believe that we are surrounded with noise in this world. Unbelievable noise. And some of the worst noise is in the financial world. Right? And some of the noise that we hear today of the financial gurus say, well, look, 5% earning is a problem. You need to find a 10% long-term growth stock mutual fund. All right, then the household names that we recognize in the financial expert world, these financial gurus say, well, look, you got to find a 12% long-term growth stock mutual fund. But look, even if we did find a 10% long-term growth stock mutual fund, that takes your account value up to $209,000. 2 years worth of income. Man, aren't you something? The household names in the financial world say you got to find a 12% long-term growth stock mutual fund. Year over year over year over year, you've got to earn 12% on your investments. Think about that. Before you find that account, you will find a pasture of unicorns being shepherded by a leprechaun at the end of the rainbow. That animal doesn't exist. Right, but if you find it, God bless you. Let's say you did find it. That would take your account value to $312,000. Paying your taxes, right? Enjoying a 12% rate of return in the face of inflation. This is really where America is. And there may be a better way, and I believe there is a better way. It's the infinite banking concept. And I'm trying to demonstrate the concept, infinite banking concept. Infinite is limitless. Right? Concept is an abstract idea. Right? Banking is just the movement of money. Right? So I'm convinced that if you understand the concept, the details don't matter. And if you don't understand the concept, the details don't matter. But the details are vitally important, and I understand that as well, because it's typically your money. You know, I'm just trying to bring the concept together with some numbers.
You know, and I did. I think I made a very good effort. It's not perfect by any means. I'm not saying that. But bringing the concept together with realistic numbers, no smoke and mirrors, no magic, just some realistic numbers that have really stood the test of time and how they can be applied in your life with the infinite banking concept. I'm pretty proud of this. You know, and I'm a humble guy.
Okay. The better way, maybe learning how to become your own banker. So under the cost ratios, all I've done is I have said, look, what if we operated in a tax-free environment instead of a tax-deferred or taxable environment? What if our money operated in a tax-free environment and we were moderately successful? I've reduced that by 30%. Right. Well, that alone takes the account value from $80,000 to $242,000. You didn't work any harder. You didn't work any longer. You didn't buy any more real estate. You didn't do any more deals. You didn't hire any more employees. You didn't cut your lifestyle, go without or go with less, or ask your spouse to go with less. You just operated or began to operate, started to operate, learned how to operate in a tax-free environment. Okay? Well, Nelson Nash, in his first book, Becoming Your Own Banker, clearly demonstrates and supports the fact that 34.5 cents out of every dollar goes right through the all-American family's hands directly to pay for finance, either directly cost, the direct cost of finance, or the lost opportunity cost by paying cash. Well, if we're moderately successful, 50% successful, that takes your account value to over $524,000. You didn't do anything different but operate in a tax-free environment and learn how to become your own banker. Well, look, if you can finance debt service, you can finance lifestyle. And if you were half successful in that area, That alone takes your account value up to $766,000. Again, you didn't work any harder. You didn't work any longer. You didn't hire any more employees. You didn't do any more real estate deals. You didn't go without, go with less. You just started operating in a tax-free environment, and you learned how to become your own banker, financing everything that you were going to finance anyway. Now, how many of you have heard that life insurance is a hedge against inflation? That's all I've done here is I have eliminated inflation.
You know, I want to make a comment here that there's a, you know, I don't get on Reddit. I'm not a big social media guy or big tech guy. But, you know, people show you different things and share different things with you. And on Reddit, you know, there we've had some clients or friends, people that have made positive comments about James Nethery on Reddit, you know, the couple of different threads within the infinite banking concept. And then there's one financial genius on there that just shreds a comment that I made in a podcast episode explaining how life insurance, and maybe I didn't go into depth on the explanation, but I had said that life insurance is a hedge against inflation. It keeps up with inflation. And this, you know, financial guru that just was tried to eviscerate that, you know, questioning my intelligence, integrity, and all that, which is fair. You know, people can do whatever they want. But it's a clear observation from my part onto comments like that, that they know nothing about life insurance, and they're commenting on something they know nothing about. And so, and I just want to point that out here. I eliminated inflation. Granted, you know, I'm using fixed numbers here. So maybe you can't eliminate inflation totally, but yeah, maybe you can. All right. But my point here is, and Nelson Nash talked about life insurance being a hedge against inflation. His 1959 State Farm policy was $20,000 in face amount when it was issued. By the time he graduated, it was well over $100,000, the face amount. And he talked about the five factor and within inflation. So his face amount absolutely kept up with inflation. And then, and I don't know if Nelson doesn't necessarily talk about it, that I'm aware of, but it's a fact that if I have a policy over, and I'm going over a lifetime here, I'm using 30-year timelines, and I get pushed back on that too. People think, well, that's too far in the future. And I granted, people have short-term thinking, no question. And here at my age, I might not be here in 30 years. You may not be here in 30 years, but your people may be here in 50 years. So 30 years is not an unrealistic timeline. It's kind of a separate point. But getting back to the inflation, you know, I've had policies for over 20 years, right? And the work's not completed. You know, I've done different types of modules and conversations and podcasts on the action of a life insurance policy over time. And there's a big focus on, you know, how fast you can get to cash on cash in a policy. And I'm, all of this commentary may not be for this particular point in time on this webinar, but I want to make the point. I've had policies over 20 years. Got have clients that have policies over 20 years. And if I pay a premium today in those older policies, and there's a 5 and 6 times increase in cash value because I paid a premium, that would be a cash flow. If I paid a premium in, there's an increase of 5 or 6 times. That's keeping up with inflation. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. And then if I borrowed against that, that is a hedge against inflation on a cash flow. Right now, deeper work should go into the loan too, right? If I'm going to borrow, if I pay a premium and then I'm going to borrow, collateralize against that policy and borrow against it. But life insurance is a hedge against inflation. And the people on Reddit and all the other financial geniuses, you know, they have an opportunity to learn if they wish, right?
And that's $3.3 million. I'm not obsessed with a rate of return, trying to get a high rate of return. And I'm still using a 5% rate of return. I don't know if you can get that or not. Maybe you can get more than that. All right. God bless you. Get as much as you can. I'm being conservative. $3.3 million operating in a tax-free environment, learning how to become my own banker, and actually financing everything that I was going to finance anyway through the infinite banking concept.
And let me say here, too, I keep saying tax-free, 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 and life insurance absolutely is tax-free. The death benefit's tax-free. Now, the internal buildup of the cash value is legally, technically, and actually tax-deferred, but it's accessible tax-free. You know, I know that... you know, I'm not misspeaking here, but I am adding a layer of clarity. The internal buildup of a life insurance policy, the cash value is tax deferred, actually, technically, factually, but it is accessible tax free, and the death benefit is tax free generally. You know, and I mean there can be cases where the death benefit can be taxable, but I'm talking about at the you and me level. I'm practicing the eminent banking concept at the you and me level with me, myself, my family. That death benefit is tax-free.
This concept is worthy of investigation without prior consent. You know as well as I do, like I said earlier, we're surrounded with noise, absolute noise. Cut through the noise. Unlearn some of the things that you think you know, that you've been taught by the financial world, right? Because that's really the largest challenge we have, is unlearning what we think we know. Right? Just with an open mind, investigate this concept. Okay, now the equivalent, and I've just gone back to the cost ratios. We're spending 95% of our income, saving 5%. Right, 30% taxes, 35% debt service, 30% lifestyle. Look, we can move those numbers around too. If you're in a lower tax bracket, you may have a higher debt service cost. If you're in a higher tax bracket, you may have a lower debt service cost. I'm illustrating the ability here of earning or saving. I'm demonstrating here the ability to save 5% of your income. The national average is below 4.5%. I'm being generous. But if the cost ratios are just back to the original, right? Saving 5%. The example here, what I'm trying to point out, what I'm actually pointing out is what kind of a rate of return would it take to accumulate $3.3 million? It would take 23% interest year over year over year to accumulate $3.3 million. And I just don't think you're going to do that successfully. If you do, God bless you.
You know, and I want to say here too, you know, like I said, I'm using fixed numbers, 30-year time period. I'm using reasonable numbers. These numbers have withstood the test of time here for the 7 or 8 years that this webinar was produced. And there's no question, 5% savings, you know, the national average being under 4.5%, you know, that's appalling. Saving the action of saving capital money for future consumption is a discipline, right? That it's a habit that has to be acquired and developed. And so I don't believe you're going to overcome the lack of discipline in savings by a rate of return. So I think it takes both, you know, and there's the richest man in Babylon. There's works many conversations that I've had about, you know, how much should you be saving, right? Where did 10% come from? So if you're not saving, you should be saving. And then a distinction, there is an absolute difference between saving and investing. If you're investing in an IRA or 401k, that is not saving. That's investing in it, and it comes with an element of risk, right? And I'm not saying risk is bad. Okay, we'll go into more deeper into that later. My point here is it's not likely that you're going to overcome the lack of discipline of saving by rate of return. You know, then we get into behavioral economics, and because you know you're not saving enough and maybe you haven't started saving soon enough, you're going to overcompensate or try to overcome that by taking risks that are really not reasonable for your situation. I mean, 33, 34 years in the financial world, I see that over and over and over. So it's okay if you can't save 5%, start saving something. And as soon as 5%, you know, if that's your goal, right? As soon as that gets comfortable, increase your savings rate. Go from 5 to 10. You know, you should continue to increase your savings rate. And then two, I've spoke about this many times, as your income goes up, the amount that you're saving should follow.
All right. I'm convinced you'll find five unicorns before you find the account that's going to produce over 23% interest. year over year over year for 30 straight linear years, God bless you if you can. Okay. Now, the next module is qualified retirement plans. We're just going to take a look at IRAs, 401k.